On an earlier show, Dee-Way, you talked about the problem of our being made passive. But I think a big piece of how that's done is through our unconscious assumption of the progress myth, and that we have to have conscious discussions of it. And on an earlier show, I said, the only thing that holds us back is the belief that we have to be forced to share our human gifts. But this belief is inextricably linked to the progress myth. So while it's true that we've been robbed of our unique gifts, and that on the face of it should motivate us, but the issue is, how do we begin to want them, our unique gifts? How do we begin to believe that they are earth-given when we've been taught that their soul worth is determined by their value to the progress myth, that if they serve this, they will be found, seen, and rewarded, and if not, then they have no larger value. And it is this larger value that we're interested in because we want to serve the species, no less than power. And love, unrooted in daily communal practices, has not been a big enough value, given our atomization, to counter the progress myth, which is structurally reinforced by the physical world. Bentham said that a key function of government is to school the people in the rules to be obeyed. Probe this dark water but a little, and the issues of time and energy efficiency for power come to the surface. For states to organize and train us en masse to follow orders saves power time. It doesn't serve us, as we've seen. The rules are not for them, but only for we, the people. So we see power kills, trashes, and pollutes with impunity, and that their malevolence is uncurbed, and we have none. Unordered to do so by jobs, we would not kill, trash, and pollute. Our natures are such that, unpressured by power, we value the species and the green and all living things. We don't need rules to preserve them. We need to be free. It's important to acknowledge how closely states follow Bentham's script, the degree to which we are managed. It's impossible to read Bentham without experiencing a shock of recognition. He's describing the world we live in. Train the children that they must perform for their supper, he says. Give the people innocent amusements, he advises rulers. Give them sports, arts, and journalism. Make everyone from parent on up teach the laws, the necessity of obedience. And coercion, he tells them, is the old way. He tells them that the modern way is internalization of the law and self-regulation. It's key that those of us on the bottom not avoid seeing that the world we are given is a product of conscious designing, the design of a minuscule tiny few claiming to speak for the majority, but they do not speak for us. The law does not, nor the pundits. They have stolen our common words, our voices. They skew all terms to convince us we exist but to work. They lie. We are crafting a new story, systematically, bit by bit. We just have to see it, illustrate it, have confirmation that it exists in order to move on more certainly, steadily toward it. We need a world without coercion, a world we're making bit by bit, a world that depends on each one being powerful by helping each other grow our gifts, where leisure is our generalized condition of existence, a world of mutual aid, reverence, and good fellowship. Plato's panopticon was the most subtle and has but deepened in our day. For if no one is without a leader, everyone is seen via the hierarchy. It's time to be free of the omnipresent eye, free of force, free of falsity, free of all duplicity in our human relationships, so we may begin to live authentically. This is our global fellowship, our new story, the pages of which express reverence for the ancestors, for all who long for generalized human freedom, and for the earth and our brothers and sisters. They reflect a turning away from coercion, division, and rank, and two, good fellowship and mutual aid, and ultimately, communal living. And we agree to help each other put our pages up so the story can be more fully illustrated.